Welcome to Consciousness Talk. We are happy to have you with us for our third podcast. Rich, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, I'll pick up where we left off a little bit. So we were talking a little bit somewhere in the subject matter of Buddha and reincarnation, but he wasn't a big one on reincarnation. He may have stole it from the Bhagavad Gita. So let me talk about the Bhagavad Gita real quick. Another label for it is the Song of God. And the best edition that I've ever read is by Eswaran, E-A-S-W-A-R-N. And I've got copies out here if you need a copy. And on the surface, the very first chapter, try to skip it if you can. Well, I mean, you kind of got to read it, and it's about all the, kind of like in the biblical stuff, you know, this lineage of different people and things like that. And where the real meat starts is in chapter two. And chapter two is interesting. He starts out with Krishna's, it's only two characters in it, basically, some sideshow things. The two characters are Arjuna and Krishna. Krishna is the god, and he's incarnated as a charioteer, which is a low-level job compared to Arjuna. Arjuna is the big warrior, and warriors were highly praised during those times, probably. And so Arjuna talks to his charioteer driver and says, drive me through the battle lines. And so I want to see what it's like. And he does that, and he comes back. And Krishna says, Arjuna, you look depressed. You know, what's this? And Arjuna's response is, oh, yeah, I got cousins and uncles and aunts on this side, and I got cousins and uncles and aunts on that side. And my job's to go out and kill them. And God, I'm depressed.
Oh my gosh.
And so this is where Krishna then introduces the incarnation types. And he says, oh, don't worry about it. And the reincarnation is talk is that we've led many lives. You know, this is your life right now today, and your job's to do this. And everybody leads different lives, and so it's not you. It's just the way the script is written for you. And so then it's only 18 chapters. They're all handful of pages. Why I like the Eswaran's edition is that the staff up at Blue Mountain in Tamaulipas, actually it was one person, translated it and wrote a summary from a Westerner's point of view of what are they talking about in this chapter, and then the actual chapter of what Krishna and Arjuna would talk about. So the dialogue is basically a dialogue that goes out of what's life all about. And that's it. Mm-hmm. So that brings us a little bit forward on things. We're at that point in time where I show here that the Bhagavad Gita was written about 100 BC. Maybe it was, that's the written form. And then it was in the Upanishadic form. And so for sure the incarnation existed, or the belief in it came from an Eastern philosophy. And so we're going fast forward. There's that gap of the 400 years in biblical stuff. I don't know if it was intentional that somebody threw it out or not threw it out. So what we come to the point in time of Jesus being on earth, and we've read a little bit of a chapter on that, but What I find interesting is that, you know, none of the Gospels were, well, in fact, all the four people that we've talked, Buddha and Lao Tzu and Kung Fu and things like that, none of them, and Socrates, none of them ever wrote a word. And so it was oral tradition, and then somebody else would write about it later.
Oh,
and I didn't know that. Yeah, well, I think that doesn't mean it's not accurate, because people, I know people that have that photographic mind, which can be a pain in the neck from time to time. And for sure, they had skills back then of listening skills that we don't have in this world, because we got everything at the fingertips today. But what I found interesting was that the crucifixion story. First of all, the Gospels were written about 70 or 90 years after the death of Jesus, from some of the things I've said. And then there was the crucifixion that a lot of people talk about, or the story. But what was interesting is that it's been uncovered that who was at the crucifixion? Were all the disciples there? No. Who was there? So John was there for part of it. Mary Magdalene was there for the whole shooting match. And what's interesting about that, and we got a book on it here somewhere called Mary Magdalene, Gospel of Mary Magdalene. And the reason she was there was that some people would believe that she was the wife of Jesus. And she was the gal, if you remember, that washed Jesus' feet with the tears from her eyes and her hair to clean them off. Mm-hmm. And I assume that's who she was. And so in those days, and she was a kind of a woman of the night type thing rather than a high-class citizen, Jewish citizen. And so I could see where she kept in the background from a political point of view or a writing point of view. They couldn't really say who she was. But what's indicated from the records that be is she was at all three major events that Jesus went through. One was the crucifixion. Then the second major event was the opening of the tomb and rolling away the big rock there. And then the third big one was the, what do they call it, the transfiguration, where Jesus is walking down the road after he's dead and meets Mary on the road. I don't know if you met anybody else on the road at that time. It was maybe only Mary on the road. And so that, you know, comes to the thing of back into the reincarnation thing. And so that's a possibility. And again, in the Catholic world, or in probably the Jewish world also, you probably didn't want reincarnation to be an option for anybody to have. Mm-hmm. So that was just some real points of interest of study.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then I've heard, or some authors would believe that there were 50 Gospels. And so how can you have 50 Gospels? We only have four in the Bible. And, well, there was a selection process. So who did the selections? We don't know, but it occurred at 325 AD. At, I think it was the town of Nicaea, and it's called the Nicene Creed. And Catholics have to memorize it, and Lutherans have to memorize it. Can you believe that? Catholics and Lutherans are on the same page. Mm-hmm. Because that's where definition in the selection of the books and selection of what went into the Bible would be occurred. So that was 325 years after after Jesus. Now, when you translate that to today's world, go back 325 years, that's kind of a little bit before 1690 or 1692. You know, tell me what happened in 1692, can you? Even from the history books, what can you do? Where do you start on that one, through, if you were to do it here? Well, a lot of evolution had to take place in that period of time. And
well, of course, and there were lots of war as well. What I read, many libraries, when they conquer one city to another city or another country, the first thing that they did, they burn all their books.
There you go.
To rewrite things again.
Yeah, right.
So it's just all this selective kind of, it's in our own hearts, and let's put something together and see what makes more sense in a sense of humanity and love and sacrifices and compassion and all the good things that I guess we're seeking for.
So there's another gospel, the Gospel of Philip. Nobody ever heard of that. Well, I mean, you do, but kind of boring, you know. It's, and in many of the gospels, it looks like you know, they had scribes and stuff like that. You know, Matthew and Matthew and Mark, you know, are more kind of parallel to each other, even though there's some significant changes, but it's almost like the same person had written them, and or rewritten them or translated them. And so you have to put that into the equation, figure out things, and then put it into the equation, where's the other 50? Well, I think one of them, maybe it was Timothy, went to India. I think Philip went to India.
I've heard Jesus went to India himself.
I don't doubt it.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Jesus went to India. Because he disappeared for a certain time, and then he came back. Is the time that he went to India.
Yeah, and in my contention, he didn't have to go all the way to India. All he had to do is get on the Silk Road. So there had to be halfway houses along the way.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
I wonder if he did.
Well, yeah.
The possibility is one of the spiritual path of this old giant's people, it was traveling.
Yeah.
They have traveled a lot, most of them.
That's so amazing. They did travel, obviously.
They did travel, all of them. Moses traveled a lot. Muhammad traveled a lot. Jesus traveled a lot. And they've been traveling all around.
And when we get the map of the Silk Road type things, then there's like five or six branches off the main road. And then in addition to those branches are the ones by sea that go from China to
that's great, that Silk Road.
Where they end up into the Mediterranean or something. And they go up the North Sea. So
it's just so interesting to think of, like, why did whoever chose to pick the Gospels that they did, what was the reasoning behind that? And did they have good intentions, bad intentions, greedy intentions? And
both.
What's truth?
Well,
there's just some, so why were they selected? That's an interesting question, over the others.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I got the contention on that. Thanks for asking. is it Constantine that was the big hitter in 325?
I think
In Nicaea?
Yes.
He was a conqueror in stuff
Roman?
Like that.
Was he a Roman?
Yeah, so I think it was Constantine. He called the meeting together of the Council of Nicaea.
Right.
So that was getting the people from Italy and the people from east of the eastern part of, I guess, Syria and different areas there. And say, all right, you've heard of the Christian Orthodox, then there's the Eastern Orthodox. So you had two dueling churches and maybe three dueling churches.
Yeah.
And so Constantine, I think, called them together for the purpose of, let's get this resolved. Somehow we can't have that. And my understanding is that from one thing I read was that Constantine converted to Christianity the week before, or the meeting, or concurrently, somewhere in that period of time. And being a good warrior, saying, if I wanted to conquer Italy from the east here, let me become Christian, and I might be able to get everybody on board. Yeah, I don't know, right. But...
Well, that's
strategic.
That's what Trump did. Or many others as well. They approach him so much.
He learned it from Constantine. Yeah, there you go. Oh, you're a great person. So my thinking on it is that when you read the Nicene Creed, basically says there's one God and Jesus the only sub-God, and it goes on with that. The Lutherans say basically the same thing, and I think that I don't know if it's different on the Eastern Orthodox, if they got a different thing, but. My reason for mentioning that is they are so parallel, you know, of based on the Nicene Creed, Christian and the what were we talking
Lutheran.
About Lutheran and yeah, well and so well no
no.
Hmm. Well, that explains it in a sense. Lutherans didn't exist until 1500 AD. Okay, and that's when Luther, who was a minister or a priest in Germany, started to rebel against the Catholic Church for all the indulgences that they were collecting from the people. And doing nothing, all the money is just going down to Rome and nobody's getting any of it. And so that's how the rebellion started, is up in Germany, and then it expanded. And there's, you can read the theses that he nailed on the church door. There's like 100 of them, 95 or 105, I can't remember the number, is he nailed all these things. And then Luther was had to hide out because they were after the Catholics, or Catholic priest, or the Pope would say, issue orders to have him assassinated. Mm. And I don't know how he escaped it, but he did. And so that's the origin of the Lutheran Church, was 1500. So that's, they had a long period of gestation and digestion mm-hmm. of Catholicism for 1500 years.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, of the Lutheran faith. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably a nice place to break again.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll nice. Give us a little over an hour and a half in total of the three. We thank everybody for being here.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you, Reg.
Thank you,
Reg. Conversation, all of you.
So good.
Thank you.
Okay.
See you next time.
Yeah.